Here we are, Life. It's great to be invited to speak first. Actually, it was really encouraging because I'm pretty badly organised, but I was only asked to speak about 2 weeks ago, so I reckon the Life team are even worse organised than I am. So that's really encouraging. Thanks very much. So Life is the series, and tonight is Living or Alive, a sort of introduction. If you want to know about life, you need to be alive, is the sort of point, really. And you'll see from the back of the card where we're going over the next few months. So there's a story told of an old piano in a downtown club in a city somewhere. There it is. A bit run down, and in fact it's hated by everyone who plays it, or anybody who's involved with it even. It's hated by the pianists because some of the notes don't play. And they complained to the owner of the club about it. The other musicians don't like it either, who play alongside, because, you know, it's off-key, and the chords that they play are off-key to that, and it just sounds crazy, so they complain about it. Singers complain about it because it makes them sound flat when they're singing. Everybody complains about it. So the owner finally decided to do something about it. And this is what he did. He gave it a paint job. Woo! Looks great, doesn't it? Think it sounds any better? No. And why not? Yeah, I need something doing on the inside. It's just stupid, right? Isn't it? Just to paint it on the outside. If that's stupid, then why do we do just the same as that? Why do we mess around with stuff on the outside? You know, our fashion. I mean, look at me. Yeah, our fashion, our gadgets, the things we say and the way we say them, the things we do and the way we do them and who we do them with. You know, why is it that it's all on the outside trying to impress other people, yet it's on the inside where we need that transformation? Another story, if you want to follow it, at another point, maybe I'm not going to open the Bible tonight, you'll be sad to hear some of you, I'm sure, but you'll find it in John's account of Jesus' life story. This is a guy called Nick. And Nick was a sort of okay sort of bloke, geezer, guy, dude, whatever level you're at there somewhere. He'd done well at school, he got a good job, and he had everything that went with this good job. He'd been elected onto his local council. He had not only did he have a smartphone, he had a smartphone and the watch to go with it. How cool is that, man? He had a smart car, he had smart clothes, and most important of all, he had the respect and admiration of everyone who knew him. Nick was going places, so everybody thought. But there was something about Nick that people didn't know, actually. He might have looked like a smart piano on the outside, but on the inside, he was empty. All he'd achieved, all he owned, everything he had, actually just amounted to a hill of beans. It was nothing. I mean, he worked, and he moved, and he breathed, he was living. But was he alive? No, he wasn't. See, Nick didn't just need some retuning. He actually needed a complete overhaul from the inside out. He just didn't know it yet. Well, one day, into town sweeps this guy who starts telling stories about God and who starts helping people. Crowds are flocking to him and people are raving about him. So Nick decides he should go and find out for himself. But you see, he's got a bit of a reputation to maintain. You know, good guy, good job. I mean, what would people think about him going to see this man? So he sneaks up to the guy at night and has a little conversation with him. Now, one of them must have pressed record on their phone, I think, because what happens next has been saved for us all to read. He goes up to this guy at night and he says, "Look, we know you're a teacher who's come from God." It's quite a gentle opening sort of gambit, isn't it, really? He was complimenting him. You know, God is with you. We know that you're from God. But the teacher, this guy who's coming to town, you know, isn't going to stand for any messing around. He's straight in. He looks straight into Nick's heart. And he sees the need. And he says to him, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. You can see right into Nick's heart and feel the need and desire that he has to feel alive, to feel connected, to feel sorted in some sort of way. And he says to him, the way to go is to be born again. Now, we've said, haven't we, that our Nick is a bit of a smart cookie, really. So he comes back with the obvious answer. And he says, how can a man be born again when he's old? Surely he can't enter into his mother's womb a second time. You can hear him laughing, can't you? Come on, you know what I mean? What's going on here? Like, you know. It's obvious, isn't it? Well, maybe it's not so obvious. See, this teacher is talking about your inner piano. And he's up next and he says, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and of the Spirit. See, now Nick starts scratching his head now, and you probably are as well, thinking, what on earth is he on about? Now, the language needs a bit of updating, really. This teacher's saying that for all of us, there's a natural birth, a birth of water. If you don't remember being born, ask your mum. There's a lot of water involved. I remember my children being born, a fair bit of water, anyway, involved. And at this point, when you're born of water, you're living. You're breathing, you're living. But then this guy is saying, if you want to live life to the max, as it was meant to be, if you want to be at peace with God and with yourself and with others and with the world, in other words, if you want to be alive, then you need a second birth. You need to be born of the Spirit. That's God's Spirit, who comes to live within you. The teacher pads it out. He says this, he says, flesh gives birth to flesh, you're living, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit, you're alive, just as it was meant to be. Now, you can't quite see what Nick's face looked like at this point. Probably a mixture of shock and surprise and incredulity and And the teacher says, you shouldn't be surprised at me saying you must be born again. There's a couple of things to notice here. This you should not be surprised, isn't a singular word. It's a plural word. You know, what he's saying to Nick, he's actually saying to everyone. He's actually saying to you and to me. And he's saying, you can, if you want, be born again. Oh, no, he doesn't say that, does he? If you fancy it, you can be born again. Oh, no, he doesn't say that, does he? What does he say? He says, you must be born again. The teacher's not holding back. This isn't one option amongst millions of pathways that you can follow to get to some utopia in the future. Nope. This is the way. You, and by that I mean we, must be born again. We must be born of the Spirit if we want to live as God intended us to live. Now, Nick's smart response to this is, how can this be? I'm not sure he's quite asking, how do we do this? I think he's asking, how can this be? Do you know, I don't think he's quite there yet. I don't think he's quite bought it yet. In fact, Jesus, because let's give him his name, that's who it is, that's who this teacher is, goes on to tease him a bit about not really understanding, even though, actually, you know, he's as smart as he looks. Even on the outside, he's a smart piano. Jesus has to tease him and say, you don't understand this? So Jesus unpacks it a bit for him, but I think before we answer the question how, we need to answer the question why. What's happened that we all need to be born again? And for that, I think we need to look inward. I do a bit of work, as you know. I think I mentioned it this morning and mentioned it several times over the last few years. I do a bit of work as a hospital chaplain. Really enjoy it. It's not bad, is it? Not a bad job, really visiting people at their bedside, talking about the price of fish, how they are, and sometimes talking about spiritual things. And I tell you what, I wish I had a pound for everyone who said to me, well, you know, I've lived a good life, I've never hurt anyone. Actually, I've done some kind things. I even went to Sunday school when I was a kid. And I think God will accept me when I die. And the assumption is that these people are making is that the way we live our lives is value neutral. What do we mean by that? Imagine this set of scales, right? They can go up and down. They're saying that the way we live our lives, the way we live our lives naturally, is value neutral. The scales are balanced. And if you add just a few good deeds on one side, you tip the scales, God's happy, heaven, here we come. But listen, straight-talking Jesus has got another take on this. Because later on in this conversation with Nick, he says something that challenges this view. He says, look, light has come into the world. He's talking about himself here. He says, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. So is Jesus suggesting that the way we live our lives naturally isn't value neutral? That in fact the scales are tipped towards evil? Well, I tell you, it's more than a suggestion. Let's try to explain a little bit. Here's a picture of me. I'm the one in the middle with the oar, the white oar there. This is the River Nile, folks. I'm waiting for you to go, woo! I'm the one in the middle with a look of absolute terror on his face there. Yeah, he doesn't look too good, does he? The Celia's behind me there in the yellow helmet, and John Grimes, I think, as well. I'm sure John Temple's in the boat, so I'm not quite sure which one he is. Probably at the front, isn't he? No, I know, John. That's us going down the River Nile at one point on the journey. This is another picture of us on the River Nile, and those are my legs, folks. Those legs, they're my legs. So this was taken before the previous photograph. I just thought I'd show you the first one to impress you, really. And this is in Lake Victoria in Uganda. And so he got us all in the boat. He talked to us a little bit about how to hang on and what to do if the boat capsizes. And then he capsized us. And there I am. I can't swim. Not very well, anyway. So it's quite a scary moment, actually, although I'm still here to tell the tale. The reason I showed you these photographs is, this is Lake Victoria, right? It's 4,000 miles from where the River Nile empties out into the Mediterranean basin thingy, sea. And 4,000 miles. Now, the Ugandans claim that this is the source of the River Nile. I think the Malawians have got something else to say about that. But nevertheless, this is the source of the River Nile. And in that water, even in just the lake, it's a big lake, you can feel the pull of the River Nile dragging you along. You just bob along in a steady sort of stream. A current that takes you to a place that I guess you don't want to go. And there's nothing you can do about it. You're just swept along in this current. This is the kind of thing Jesus is saying, you see. The life we lead outside of Christ is a bit like this. We're being swept along with a current that we can do nothing about towards a place that we don't want to go. Our lives are tipped towards evil. He unpacks it a bit more because he says to Nick, Whoever believes in the Son of God is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Do you see what he's saying? It's this way. We stand condemned. This is the way our natural life leads us. And if we don't believe, then that's the direction that we're going. Rather than being value neutral, in fact, our natural lives leave us standing condemned. And what are the consequences of that? Well, Jesus speaks about us perishing. Instead of heaven, here we come. Really, it's a Groupon coupon to the other place, an eternity without God. You see what Jesus is saying? He's saying there's two ways to live. There's the natural way, which corresponds to going to hell, let's call it that. And there's the born-again way, which corresponds to going to heaven. To being alive. And that's the point, really. It's not just about in the future, you know, whatever your eternal destination is. You can sense it now. There is a difference now between just living and being dragged along that way, as Jamie was talking about in his life, and actually about being alive and heading that way. So that's the why of being born again. We have to look within and understand actually what's going on. So how can we be born again? Well, we have to look upwards. Now, I guess we've got a bit of an advantage over Nick, because we know who Jesus is. And the rest of the Bible, of course, is clear that he's the Son of God. He's God himself in human form. And Jesus has got some good news for Nick. Because he says this. He says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is good news. God's not some vindictive monster who looks at us in our pathetic, evil-loving lives and says, well, you've made your bed, now you can lie in it. I bet your parents have said that to you, haven't they? Or in my case, you haven't made your bed, now you can lie in it. He's not saying, well, you deserve everything that's coming to you. He's not like that. He says, I love you guys, and I want to do something to change the flow of your lives, to bring you alive, to give you a second birth. Here's my Son, a gift. Believe in him and you'll be sorted. Or as Jesus puts it, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You've got to love these words, haven't you? I guess most of us do. For God loved we've missed a word out. Two-letter word. So. God so loved the world. It's only two letters, isn't it? But just what depth there is there. God's love for you and me is not a little. It's not just enough to cover your sins or my sins. It's not begrudging. It's not conditional on how good we are. In fact, it's just the opposite. Despite how evil we are, God loves us so much that he wants to give us a gift. And not just any old gift, not just something picked up from Sainsbury's on Christmas Eve and hastily wrapped in a brown paper bag. I got one of them. But something we need. Jesus is something we need. The answer to our deepest need. A saviour who in his life showed us what it means to be alive and in his death would find a way for our evilness to be dealt with. And all we have to do is believe. Whoever believes in him will not perish, shall not perish, should not perish, but have eternal life, will be born again, will come alive. It's believe, you know, it's an active word. You have to be deliberate. You have to be intentional. You have to make a choice and act upon it. It's about putting your trust in Jesus. It's about offering your life to Jesus. It's not just ticking a box in your head and saying, yeah, I understand that, yeah. It's about actually making that move towards him. It's giving your life to him and inviting him to live in your life. That's the born again bit. We look up to him. We put our trust in him. And we're born from above, born of the Spirit, born again. Not just living, but alive. Sounds so easy, doesn't it? And yet, you know, I think we find this really hard. Either, some of us think, well, that's all very well, but I just need to prove to God that I'm good, really. You know, he needs to understand that I try hard and I'm going to try and impress him, strive to be good. But that's just like painting the piano. You know, it's useless, isn't it? Because we need changing from the inside, and only God can change us from the inside. Or maybe, and this may be some of you, and like Jamie talked about as well, maybe we've grown up in church. Maybe we've learned all about Jesus. Maybe our parents are Christians, and therefore we assume that we are. And yet, actually, we've never really made that choice to follow him for ourselves. What was it Jesus said? He said, you must be born again. Period. You must be born again. We need to look in and see the reality of our lives, and we need to look up, see Christ and all he's done, believe in him, and so live. I want to show a video just to close. It's called, How to Please God, something like that. You'll see it when it starts. And at the end of this, I'm just going to take a moment in prayer. And you know, there may be some of you here who haven't made that choice to follow Jesus for yourself. I'm going to lead you in prayer, and it may be the opportunity for you to do just that.